This is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
I like the laugh. It's like we could laugh, but when the person who says it thinks it's even funnier than everybody else laughing, there's a certain charm to that.
What day is it today? Hump day!
It's unbelievable. Welcome to a Wednesday. Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score. Tyson Alger of The Athletic will join us at the bottom of the hour, talk some Duck football. As far as what's happening now, I was reading USA Today about NCAA college football coaches' salaries, and I have a new goal in life. I want a 6-year contract. I'm going to tank so bad in years 1 and 2 they fire me that I make more the last 4 years with the buyout than I did wasting my time trying to win the first 2. I tell you, check out the buyout numbers. It's astonishing. And, you know, the guys at the upper level, especially Dabo at Clemson and Saban at Alabama. I mean, something tells me they're probably not going to get fired this year. If Dabo got canned this year, if all of a sudden, say, the athletic director got caught in a scandal and decided, you know, I've never liked that guy. I want to fire him. And he went to the administration and, I want to fire Dabo. Well, why? Well, you give him a bunch of reasons, and they'd be like, yeah, he's got a $50 million buyout. Get your ass back in the office and shut up and be lucky you have this job. Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. Would you say that Texas A&M, in your lifetime, right now, is any closer to winning a national championship than, and remember, the best team most of you have seen was when Manziel won the Heisman. And they won 9 games that year. Oh, wait. It didn't matter. They weren't in the national title picture. Could we all agree on that? So they gave him a 10-year, $75 million deal.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And Nick is either trying to break a Bronco over there or whip his headset.
The headsets that we have here are very nice, and they make everything sound really good, and that's all really nice. The cord is 19 feet long, and it gets tangled around my feet, and it gets tangled around the chair. So if I'm wheeling back and forth between the computers behind the board to my computer, like spinning around, looking at things, it just gets tangled around me. And one of these days, I'm going to forget that it's there. And
strangle yourself.
I'm going to strangle myself, or I'm going to take a step, and I'm just going to trip and fall. And so I need the cord to just be exactly how much cord I'm holding in my hand. It needs to be that much shorter. It's too long. I can't take
all right,
it.
Before we lose Nick.
Ah!
So Texas A&M, probably the most successful, recognizable team you've seen in your lifetime. Won 11 games, which included their bowl game win with Johnny Manziel the year 2012. We won the Heisman. But they were never in the hunt for anything, really, because they lost their first game. They lost LSU. So, you know, they were in the 20s. They ended up in the top 10, but they weren't a contender. So the reason I bring this up, I mean, how close do you think Texas A&M is to making up all that ground between themselves and Alabama, themselves and LSU, themselves in Georgia, and, you know, whoever else they'd need to catch in the SEC? Not that much. So it's year 2 under Jimbo Fisher. If they decide by the end of next year, nope. They're like a 7-8 win team, and recruiting isn't coming across with the goods, and the fans aren't you know, as passionate as they had hoped, it would cost them $52 million to buy him out. So it's crazy. It's madness, I tell you. Gus Malzahn at Auburn, there was a lot of talk coming into this year. If he didn't cut the mustard and contend for the SEC West and maybe even beat Alabama, he might be out. You know what his buyout is? $27 million.
What kind of mustard are you buying where you need to actually cut it?
I don't know, but actually, those were the words. That's along the lines of the words that P.J. Carlissimo said to Latrell Sprewell that almost got him choked to death.
Right.
And you see a little more mustard on those passes.
Oh, well, I think
it has to do with, you know, being spicy, being a little more assertive.
But I could understand, like, oh, yeah, put some
mustard
on.
Yeah, you can't cut mustard. No, it's a liquid.
Yeah. Is it a liquid? Because it's not. It's a solid, but
it's a substance.
It's a it's coagulated.
Oh,
it's
good word.
Coagulates a fun
I like
one.
It. It's an awesome word. I'm so jealous.
You squeeze it out and you can spread it, but you can't. It doesn't come in like, you can't get blocks of mustard.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you'd like to jump on in, text us, 321-0824, on Twitter at 953, the score for the station. Sports Talk 953 for me and for Nick. It's at Rick Nodgers. All right, break time. Let's get to it. Not break time. Wouldn't that be an easy way to do it? You do 3 minutes break for five, do three. Be like doing music radio. Let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Hey Steve. I'd make a comment about your break time, but I won't do that. So quickly, the Chicago Cubs took a left turn for their manager. And, you know, the Mets and the Yankees have a history of not trading players.
But with each other?
To managers, it's amazing how many former managers of the Mets become Yankee managers and Yankee managers become Met managers. It's quite a you know, back and forth between management. And there are two guys out there. Now, they're going to be expensive, but Buck Showalter and Joe Girardi are both out there looking for jobs. And I think if the Mets are willing to spend a little more, they're going to get one of those guys.
And who do you think they're going to get?
Buck Showalter or Joe Girardi?
Huh. Showalter's interesting. I don't know. Is he definitely willing to come back to managing anymore?
I think he'd like to have one more shot at getting to the World Series.
Huh. Interesting.
Real quick, I think Didi Gregorius is going to be the shortstop of the New York Mets next year.
Why?
Because he's the odd man out in their infield. They're not going to be able to pay him the kind of money that he deserves, and they're going to let him go free agent, and I think the Mets really need a shortstop, and I think that a little Yankee magic in City Field would really be a good thing for them.
So you think it's going to be a trade, or?
No, he's a free agent.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, they're going to have to consider who they're going to pay, because with some of those young bucks, they're going to warrant a pretty big signing when arbitration or free agency comes around.
Look, they got a guy who's a natural shortstop playing second. They got a guy who's a natural second baseman playing third and first and occasionally second. Why not put the guy who's supposed to be at second, the guy who's supposed to be at short, and save $22 million a year? Because they need pitching.
Yeah, not only that, but Cashman has shown that he has, you know, become the Yankee GM somewhat of fiscal responsibility, kind of bucking 40 years of trend.
Right. The boss is rolling in his grave.
Because they're not whizzing away money on guys who won't get him closer
exactly.
to winning.
Except for Giancarlo, which was the worst trade ever.
Right, yeah.
All right, man.
Jack.
Have a good day.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
We had Mike call in. He said that the phrase cut the mustard comes from cutting the mustard seed. So when you actually are cultivating mustard, it comes from a little grain, and you have to pick it and grow it and all that, you know, agricultural stuff. But then you have to actually go through and cut the grain to get your mustard. So that's where cut the mustard comes from. If we're thinking of the finished product, how could you cut it unless you froze it or turned it into some sort of jelly, something that was, you know, more solid? No, it's literally the plant has to be cut.
Ah, I like that. Them's good tidbits.
Today I learned.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Man, we are going to have to start calling some of you who engage me on Twitter Chubby Checker, because everything is a twist. The tweet was basic that Herb Street and Reese Davis were talking about, if it came down to Oregon and Auburn, Oregon shouldn't be punished for losing to Auburn. And I'm like, except yes, except that's like a staple of the sports we follow. And people are going, you know, one guy's like, well, I like this team. And if it comes down to a one loss, no, only Oregon versus Auburn. Don't deviate off that topic. That's all we're talking about. God, what's so hard about, oh, yeah, it always comes down to head-to-head. That's right. Only a moron would disagree with that. I'll talk slower. On Twitter, I'll type slower. So some of you can get it. Do you understand? And what pisses me off the most is the people who take these adamant stances. And if the roles were reversed and Oregon had beaten Auburn and somebody even remotely suggested that in the case of a tie, the Tigers would get in, they'd be diving off the Ferry Street Bridge into the river. God, how do some of you people live with yourself? Are you vampires? Do you own mirrors? Did you miss DNA Common Sense Day when they were handing it out? God, what is so hard about logic, facts, history, and forget it. Just, I need to learn to ignore.
It's because they're fans, Steve, and you should lean into their crazy just enough to kind of make them happy, and then you just enough, not the entire, like, kind of like what I did, where you just keep saying yes, and you keep, you know, coming up with random ideas. Yes, Oregon is the best team in the country. They should be ranked number one overall, because you can't take their loss against them, because they lost to another team that was very good. Auburn also shouldn't have, Auburn, their loss against Florida shouldn't have counted, and Florida's loss against whoever they've lost to, that shouldn't have counted either. Everybody's a winner. The playoff is 238 teams big, and at the end of the day, everybody gets a trophy. You're trying to argue with facts with somebody who doesn't want to see them. So don't do it.
It's like going on a particular news station and trying to present facts and getting argued with. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you'd like to jump on in. It's like there are certain things in sports, in politics, in the world of celebrity, that it's like if we lose them, we've got nothing. In the case of a tie, it's head-to-head. That's like all we have in the world of sports. We don't ask for much.
I got into an argument with someone who went to my high school about that. They ended up going to TCU, and they were trying to make the case before the Big 12 had their conference championship game with their 10 teams and their round robin, where at the end of the round robin you have a conference champion. They kept trying to say that they were better than Baylor that year, because I think that's when RG3 was still there. They kept trying to say they were better than Baylor because when Baylor lost to a worse team, even though Baylor beat them, and I kept just saying, but you lost to Baylor. You play the round robin, everybody plays each other, and then there's a winner at the end, and this is the winner. And you lost, so you can't win. Like, you know, you can't say you're better when they beat you. And I couldn't do it anymore. You can't win with those people that argue like that. So you just got to lean into the crazy.
I can't lean into the crazy. I am too etched in facts to be guided away by illogical people. And if you're familiar with The Godfather and Don Corleone, basically what would happen is an issue would surface. Say Turk Salozzo wanted for him to invest the $2 million and they would start distributing cocaine and heroin, and the Tattaglias and Barzini would guarantee the investment. And the Don realized once he said no to Salozzo that his concern was, could he be reasoned with? And if the determination was, this is a man you can't reason with, you call Luca Brasi and you whack him. He's got to go. So if I would be kind of the Don of sports talk hosts and your listeners and tweeters, and I make a determination that all you care about is your way and your team, I determine, well, he can't be reasoned with, and you got to get clipped. It's as simple as that. It's the sports radio version of getting whacked.
The other thing you could do is not be a super grumpy, curmudgeon-y old
I'm in
New
a great
Jersey-ite
mood until jerks show up and start ignoring facts and making up lies and twisting around statements that are really basic and simple.
Just take a deep breath, you count to 10, and you move.
That's a lot of dead air. I could maybe count to 1.5.
I'll do that so it won't be dead air, and I'll talk about how you're counting and how you're breathing and you're taking deep breaths. You haven't even started counting.
I like to
Steve, you have to take this serious for it to work. You have to take it serious.
It's like the last scene in Mad Men where Don Draper is sitting there and he's lived this very stressful life living in New York in the ad business on Madison Avenue, and all of a sudden the legendary Coca-Cola commercial comes to him as he's literally going, om, and all of a sudden they cut away to, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Is that where I'm supposed to get?
Maybe. I mean, you could just, you know, come up with an answer to this guy's question, or you could just realize it's not worth getting mad about. Because it's 4:15 on a Wednesday, and just, there's other things going on.
No, there aren't. There's only this. There is only aggravation. By the way, great question here. Does getting clipped just mean making people watch the Clippers? In past years, that would have been more torturous than it is now, according to Nate and some others.
Now you get to watch DVD replays of old Clippers seasons where they constantly fail.
And by the way, here I am on Twitter. You have to evaluate where the teams are today, not the first game of the year. But if it's... Never mind. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on board. Where else... Oh, yeah. By the way, the first game for the Blazers, some folks have... tweeted or texted and wanted to know, have we acknowledged that the Blazer season starts tonight? And it does. 7:00. It's an ESPN game against Denver. So a rematch of the Western Conference semifinals, which was a terrific series. The Broncos. Actually, I bet the Nuggets could beat the Broncos in football. The Nuggets are really intriguing team, and you saw what a knockdown drag out series. A lot of the fans we're hearing from are excited, and why not? I mean, they made the Final Four last year, and like Nick often says, they're fans, they're fanatics, and it's a team that's pretty much a lock to make the playoffs unless there are some injury issues. We know the LA teams have loaded up. Nothing is etched. Certainly the Warriors with no Durant. And now, would the word come down yesterday that it's really unlikely that Klay Thompson will play this season at all? So for the first time since the late 90s, the Warriors aren't going to win the West. You look at what Utah did. We'll talk about that. Obviously, Houston rolled the dice. And I also printed out how Vegas sees this. Because really, really interesting, what they did is they gave you the odds for every team at where they opened at the end of the finals. So Toronto wins it. They then that next day, like when they have the national championship game in basketball or football, somebody on ESPN or CBS or Fox or something comes out with the way too early for next year. Well, they did that. And then they gave you the team's odds in Vegas before the trade deadline, and then they give you the odds before the draft, and then they give you the odds before free agency, and then they give you the current odds. And I'll tell you what, as you might imagine, with teams, signing like Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard and who they drafted and where they went and what free agents they signed. Yeah, there's a lot of wiggle room there. Although, The Blazers did not move a bunch. So we'll get to that in a bit. But first, every Wednesday is joyful around here because we get to meet a doggy and help the folks at Greenhill find him or her, in this case a him, their forever home. So we'll take a break because we're going to talk up Tyson Alger of The Athletic next, as well as get a Coors Light update. But first, our Greenhill Pet of the Week, 95.3 The Score. So it's not Tuesday, it's not Thursday, it's Wednesday, which means yay day. Sarah from Greenhill is here. A good day to you, Sarah. How's
Hello.
Life?
Pretty well. Pretty good.
Awesome. Let's get to it today.
Yeah.
Man, sometimes you just bring in the strikingly gorgeous doggies.
Yeah.
And this one's certainly no exception.
He is just a troublemaker.
And a very happy guy. What could you tell us about Phoenix?
Phoenix is a 2.5, 3-year-old pity mix. He weighs about 25, 30 pounds, so he is not really going to be getting much bigger. He's kind of smaller in stature, but he is very sweet, very loving, very striking features, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
He's kind of all lightly brown with a little bit of white mixed in there, and he's got the light brown colored, like greenish brown eyes. Very, very striking. He is very well. He came in as from another shelter, so we don't have much history on
right.
him. He has done well with other dogs at the shelter. Of course, we would want you to have your existing pets come and meet him and make sure that everything jives. And then with kids, he is friendly. He loves just about everybody, but he could also knock over the little ones. So maybe like eight and older. And then with cats, it's kind of hard to say. Maybe with a little bit of training, he might do just fine. But he's never really had much experience with cats. So
yeah, he the size is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that kind of stocky, I'm a linebacker and I'm going
right.
to knock everybody over.
It's kind of petite.
Sweet and petite.
Yeah.
And
so in trouble over here.
Before we get to the important stuff like how folks can go about giving the doggy like Phoenix its forever home.
Yeah.
You've got something going on now. Folks sometimes want to adopt. A lot of times finances come into play.
Right.
We've got a really cool event going on.
Yeah,
what are the
it's
details?
Through the ASPCA. It's the Subaru Loves Pet Adoption Event. And that's coming up, that's actually happening now, the 19th through the 25th. And Phoenix qualifies. He's in essentially all the adoption fees for select dogs are reduced. So it's a little bit cheaper right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
And like I said, for a lot of people, it's a financial commitment.
Yep.
That might help.
Yep,
and
exactly.
Again, green-hill.org online. And again, we say this every week, but really it's kind of important.
Yep.
If you're thinking about making this awesome move and adopting a pet,
mm-hmm.
not only a kitty cat or a dog,
right.
but you got others. What are the details there?
Yeah, it's very simple. We're open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And just come on down to the shelter and we have you fill out a one-page paperwork, and then you meet the dog or the animal. And if you have existing pets, obviously bring them in so that they can meet too. And then if everything goes well, then that's all she wrote.
What's more joyous than a pet meet and greet?
Yeah.
Do they serve cocktails?
Super
no,
fun.
I'm
I
only
wish.
kidding. Always great. You guys rock. It's our pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
If you're thinking of making your move and doing this awesome thing, you got to check out Phoenix. We'll get the pictures and the information up on our Twitter account and website, and obviously learn more at the Greenhill website, green-hill.org. Always great seeing Sarah. Let's take a break. Back with more Sports Talk returns, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Until the organization comes forward and acknowledges that their statement was misleading and completely irresponsible, the front office of the Astros will have no credibility in this issue. And whenever discipline comes down, and I do think some's coming down, I think more of it's going to be about the statement that the team put out under organization letterhead than the Taubman incident.
Well said. Buster Olney on just the disgraceful behavior of hey, say my name. No, I don't want to say your name. You're a jerk. It's Taubman dude for Houston. the jerk store called. They're opening up just because they know they'll constantly be out of him because they just run out and run out and run out and run out. Lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline as we welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. Appreciate the time of Sarah from Green Hill every week, bringing a doggy in here as we look to hook them up with their forever home. Learn more online, green-hill.org. They do fantastic work, and it has been an honor to work with these warm-hearted, spectacular people. All right, let's talk some Duck football, maybe sprinkle in a little Trailblazers, eve of the season opener, and a first-time guest to boot. He's been with the Oregonian, the Garden Island in Hawaii, now with the Athletic. You can follow along on Twitter, use the handle at Tyson Alger. T.A., after all these years, it's great to have you. How's it going?
It's great, Steve. You know, watching a little bit of baseball here during the playoffs, I kind of feel like that last guy in the bullpen who's been waiting for the manager to come out and call my name. So, big moment for me here. But I'm ready to pitch a couple innings.
All right. Well, we needed a righty, so I figure we could lean on you. A little background: your path to the great state of Oregon is rather unique. So, where do you hail from, and where did you do your undergrad?
Yeah, so I grew up in the town of Palmer, Alaska, which is about 40 miles north of Anchorage. It's about 5,000 people or so, absolutely beautiful part of the country. And I went from there to the University of Montana in Missoula. So I kind of like those states that have a lot of mountains and snow, and you can hide a bit.
I was going to say, there's a lot of places to hide out. So once you were a Grizz grad, what was your first paying gig? Where did you go from there?
Right. So when I was in college, I had interned with the Oregonian in Portland, and that was an absolutely awesome gig, and I wanted to end up back there at some point, but that just wasn't in the cards right away. So my now wife and I, we ended up moving to Lihue, Hawaii, because I had sent out about 400 job applications, and they were one of the first people to call, and we were just like, you know what, we're like 21, 22, let's do it, might as well. So we ended up in Hawaii on an island that had three high school football teams that played each other about four times a year, which is kind of a weird thing to cover, but it was an awesome experience and something I won't forget. But we were there for about a year and a half until I got the big call up from the Oregonian, and so that's how we ended up back on, in the real world in about 2013.
Yeah, as they call it, the mainland. Unrelated to anything that has to do with the Ducks, I loved what you tweeted out yesterday with the assistant GM of the Astros, Brandon Taubman, who literally mocked those standing against domestic violence, then a force to apologize. So you said he played the wife, kids, sorry if I offended card. You called it apology bingo. How pathetic of a mea culpa was that?
That was about as bad as it gets. But I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of the playbook these days. Is if you say something that's offensive, you apologize just in case you offended everybody. And he hit just about everyone in the book there. My personal favorite is always when these guys are like, "Oh, I have a daughter," or "I have a wife." Like, how can you expect me to be a bad person if I have these? And it's just like, just about half the population has a daughter and a wife, and it doesn't mean you can't be a jerk. So I thought that was a pretty pretty poor performance by the Astros there before the World Series even began.
Talking with Tyson Alger of the Athletic, and I get the numbers bear this out, but with Oregon, this win, where they sit in the North, with who they've beaten already, how unique or odd is it that they're so firmly entrenched in the division driver's seat, considering October's not even over already?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, because you can even look back to some of the better Oregon teams in the earlier part of this decade. It always seemed like they were running up against like a Stanford late in the year, or they had those kind of important games in November, and those were in seasons where the Ducks would go 11-1 or even 12-0. Here we are in October, and I mean, it's you can look outside right now. It's sunny. It's warm. It's still early in the year, and the Ducks pretty much have this thing locked up. So it's kind of a weird situation to be in. But at the same time, you kind of look at the Pac-12 and how mediocre some of the other teams are. It's very clear that Oregon is far and away the best team in the North right now. And I guess kind of the remaining drama is, A, whether or not the Ducks can run the table here and potentially get themselves into the playoff conversation, and just kind of what happens in the South between, you know, Utah, who I think is a really good football team and has a fantastic defense, and potentially a USC team that is kind of still in the race, but they're pretty darn injured here in the second half of the season.
I know last week you talked about the history of Oregon and Washington with a colleague, Christian Capel, and it's been forever since both were in the hunt, and we got a game worthy of this series. So you were there on the road. Tyson, how would you describe the intensity of the scene there, and I guess the magnitude of this win for a program that's in new hands, kind of trying to reestablish itself as a Pac-12 power?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was one of the best games I've ever covered. Just from the atmosphere was electric. I mean, Husky Stadium filled up a little slowly at the start, but it was sold out by the time things mattered. A loud crowd. The weather ended up being nice by the end of the game. These are two programs that are kind of hitting a sweet spot in this rivalry, in the sense that both teams are good at the same time for the first time probably in 20 years or so consistently. And so, you know, you had that coming off of a game last year where the Ducks won in overtime that some people might have thought was fluky because Washington missed that kick that could have won it in regulation. And it just meant a lot to this Oregon team. And after the game was over, it was one of the most probably emotional scenes I've seen on the football field under this crystal ball era, where there was a lot of celebration, there was tears. You could tell this game really meant to them, and to be able to kind of like take this program that they've been building over the last couple of years and win on the road in a top 25 game and probably the toughest atmosphere they've played in several years. I thought overall it was just an incredibly impressive effort from the Ducks.
Now, the article you wrote Monday, I thought, brought up a key point in focusing on Micah Pittman. Obviously, he was a huge story in camp. Then he had the injury, didn't return until Cal. And with Breland gone, there's kind of a power vacuum, a hole for a money man that Justin Herbert can go to. So in just these 3 weeks, what kind of impact has he made? And you drew an interesting parallel with a guy who had a hell of a Duck career himself.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Charles Nelson in 2014. If you go back to look at that 2014, Nelson was probably like Marcus's like fourth or fifth option, because that team had some veterans like, you know, Dwayne Stanford, Devin Allen, Darren Carrington. But whenever Nelson was on the field, he was one of those guys that you just kind of watched every time he was out there, because he was always a threat to do something. And it seemed like when he was given that opportunity, he did. And right now, that's kind of been the same with Pittman. You know, he had been behind like Johnny Johnson, Jalen Redd, and some of those other guys on the depth chart. But when he's on the field, you know, he's always a player who's a threat to make a play. And in this last game, he only had a few catches, but one of them was a massive third down conversion. I don't think we've seen him drop a pass yet, and he's kind of made a knack for catching some of those important ones when they need to move the sticks. And then the other one was that 36-yard touchdown, which was a very well-executed play. I thought it was a fantastic play call from Marcus Arroyo, and the kid took it to the end zone, and that ended up being one of the pivotal plays of that game.
Yeah, that was design and execution just fantastic. A couple final thoughts for Tyson Alger of The Athletic. Another guy most assumed would have, like, a specific assignment is the short yardage guy would be Cyrus Abibi-Likio. You know, he was a beast on Saturday. He displayed a skill set I'm not sure many knew he had. So, Tyson, what about his possible expanding role and the fact, like you wrote, his hurdling moment was not a complete improvisation?
This is a kid that just wants it. You know, he loves Oregon football. He loves his teammates. You know, he had a quote after the game that, you know, this is all he's ever really wanted is to, you know, play for his coach and these teammates. He considers them to be family. And for much of the last year and a half, he's kind of been the third string guy behind Dye and Verdell. And we've seen him all play a lot in goal line situations. with an insane kind of carry to touchdown ratio, but we just haven't really seen him kind of be that slippery, consistent guy in regular situations that could be like a three down back. But what we saw in this game was a mixture of power, speed, elusiveness, and seeing him being able to hurdle a guy like that. And so as we kind of move forward, you know, if he has that ability to be a multiple down back, he offers something that those other two guys don't, and that's just size. I mean, he's 6'1", 222 pounds. He can truck over guys, and, you know, C.J. Verdell's a little banged up right now, which I think really just kind of opens up the door for Cyrus. And if he gets some kind of confidence going and gets those reps in, he gives this Oregon offense a different look than the other two guys did.
Yeah, you sure got to love his ability to capitalize when opportunity knocks. One final thought. Basketball, the Blazers open the season, you know, the transformation of the Warriors, a lot of new parts on the LA teams. Fans, I know, have some high hopes. They open with a good team like Denver. So you live in Portland, kind of, you know, at the heartbeat of a city that just loves this franchise. What's the buzz? Folks chomping at the bit to get this season started? I mean, could you sense it's almost NBA season?
Yeah, I definitely think so, and I'll preface this with I'm a relatively new back into the NBA fan because I grew up as a Seattle Sonics fan, and you know, when you have your team taken away from you, you kind of sour on the league for a little bit. But you know, I've been in Portland for about 7 years now, and last year's playoff run was one of the first times in this city where it felt like there was just like a major sports thing going on, and where people were talking about it in the bars and the streets. And it was just, you know, everybody knew when the next Blazers game was. And that was a really kind of cool thing to feel in this city. And so as this season approaches now where, you know, the big bad Warriors are no longer what they used to be, and Blazers did add a couple of nice pieces, I'm really jacked for this season because I think they have, you know, not the best chance as everybody else, but this is one of the first seasons in a while where you could legitimately say, like, hey, if they put it all together, I mean, they got a chance. And I think the anticipation in the city is definitely recognizing that as well.
Awesome. Hey, great to have you on. Thanks for not saying, oh, now you want me on and doing the right thing and blowing us off. Folks, he's Tyson Alger of The Athletic. Subscribe, support quality journalism on Twitter. It's at Tyson Alger. Hey, T.A., great having you on. Terrific stuff. And look forward to chatting you upstairs on Saturday.
Hey, appreciate it, Steve. The check's in the mail.
All right. Good one. Take care, buddy. Well done. Very well done. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Draw that parallel, by the way. Alaska, Montana, Hawaii, back to Portland. Gotta love it. All right. Before we break, quick word, Josh Cooley team. You hear me talking about them in various different activities they're up to and opportunities they present you. Well, one of them is the Enclave at the Nines, the new housing subdivision in Eugene. It's located at Ayers Road and Delta Highway. It's a 68-home development. And a lot of options there, six different floor plans. More importantly, if you're the one paying, you could pick out either a three or four bedroom and your own style of master bedroom. And premium lots are available. It's a multi-year project. So if this is one of those deals where you are going to sell your home first because the profit you make there will be the down payment and you're interested in something like the Enclave at the Nines, well, make the transition. Make the whole transaction smooth. Call the best in the business. That's the Josh Cooley team. Their phone number, you can call or text, by the way, for information, 359-1999. Email Josh and his team, info@EugeneRE.com. They are the official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks. And learn more about this project, EugeneEnclave.com. Again, the phone number, 359-1999. Make the wise move. Get Josh and his team in your corner going to bat for you. All right, break time. We'll be back. We'll wrap up the 4 o'clock hour on a Wednesday next. 95.3, The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Guarantee.com.
1-0 fastball, and it is hit a long way, straight away center field, and it is gone. Ryan Zimmerman clubs one. 1-0 from Cole, a fastball lifted high and deep, left center field. This ball's got some carry, and this ball is gone. Juan Soto, and he has tied the game at 2.
Long ball doing yard work. You love that home run sound, don't you? Admit it.
I do. It's fantastic. I think it was a Bryce Harper home run from 2 years ago when he was on the Nationals, but he hit it against the Diamondbacks with the roof closed, and you can hear it echo.
Just reverberated. It was almost scary.
Like, it broke the sound barrier on television. They have a recording of it, and just nobody cares.
By the way, I'm now from disgust to almost admiring some of the Oregon fans over this tweet that went out about Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit. We're talking about the one-loss teams who might be in the playoff picture. And if it came down to Oregon and Auburn, that same record, you know, should the Tiger win over the Ducks count? And of course, it should count 100% of the time. It shouldn't even be a debate. And there's only one comeback to the Oregon fans that are giving me, well, it depends on what. They both have a loss. Right now, they both, in order to be in the playoff picture, they would have to win out. So there's not like, well, they'd all win the rest of their games. So I want one Oregon fan, and I will have to polygraph you if you're that desperate enough to challenge me on this. So Oregon beats Auburn the first week, then loses to, doesn't matter, Washington, USC. Auburn, in turn, with that one loss, wins out. So it would come down to same record. They are the only two teams being considered for the last playoff spot. Oregon beat them head-to-head. The selection committee gives it to Auburn. Yeah, you're telling me you're going to be on that side of the debate like you are on the Oregon side of the debate right now. Remember the scene in, are you familiar with the movie Beverly Hills Cop? So it's the first Eddie Murphy movie. He's Axel Foley, or as Serge called him, Achmel Foley. So they've killed Victor Maitland. They've broken up the cocaine ring. He's sitting there with Billy Rosewood and Taggart. And Bogomil, remember, he's the Beverly Hills, he's not the chief of police. That's the older guy who played Arthur Bach's father-in-law in the movie Arthur. So Bogomil just makes up this total BS story to get them all off the hook at the end.
Be still, Taggart, be still.
And so as they're sitting there, Bogomil comes over to the chief of police, said, well, what happened, chief, is Beverly Hills was working in concert with the Detroit Police Department on a cocaine task force, and it's all total BS. And the chief goes, and you expect me to believe that story? And Bogomil goes, well, that's the story I'm filing. And the chief goes, I expect to have that report on my desk in the morning. And they all shake hands. And just like I said, for any Oregon fan who will look me in the eye and say, roles are reversed. Oregon beats Auburn. They end up exactly tied. It comes down to the Ducks and Tigers for the last playoff spot. And they give it to Auburn. You're going to make the same argument for the Tigers you are for the Ducks right now. Eddie Murphy's line there, you were lying your ass off. So just don't lie. Get pissed. Do whatever it is. Curse. Throw stuff. Just, you know what? As a matter of fact, lie to me all you want. Don't lie to yourself because you're full of crap. All right.
But the thing is Oregon didn't have a full squad when they lost Auburn. So if Auburn had beaten Oregon and Auburn was hurt, maybe then at that point I would be thinking that it could be
wouldn't.
A considerable loss.
No,
but really, in the long run, Oregon is the best team in the country. They've got the best offensive line. So thus, they're number one at everything. Have you seen how good Penei Sewell is? He's 18 years old. Most of what he did last year, he was only 17. This is the best team in the country. I'm telling you, they're number one. They should be in the playoff. They shouldn't be top three. Sure, fourth is the right spot for them. We want Bama. Although Bama's not even that good, so we're gonna get LSU instead. Oregon's, top four team. Put them in the playoff, Steve.
You just lied. Another liar.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that because I had to focus so hard on what I was saying and you were tooting a horn or something like that.
It was the lie
horn. I
couldn't
think about it. I don't think I actually said a lie other than Oregon should be the number four team in the country,
the
which
lie
is really just objective. It's not necessarily a lie.
What you're doing is not understanding and twisting it around. The lie is that any Oregon fan making this debate in favor of the Ducks, if the roles were reversed, would not be making the same argument in favor of the Tigers. It's a lie. That's all. You know how you see sometimes when somebody does a headline and it's like, well, there was misinformation. Nope, it was a lie. Well, congressman, no, they lied. Well, there was no misleading. There was no deception. It was a lie. So if you look me in the eye, you're telling me a lie. If the glove doesn't fit, y'all must quit. It's the same thing. All right. I'm looking ahead to the 5 o'clock hour. Maybe we just need an hour off. Or is it now that they're closed back at Harper headquarters in Atlanta? I was like, I know because we're getting ready for the tailgater. There's alcohol in the building, so we may have access. So hope floats, as they said in the movie. Looking ahead to the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have hoops on. We're going to have game two of the World Series. We've got, now I always like the 5 o'clock hour on Wednesday to start looking ahead. So hang tight. 5 o'clock hour of Wednesday next. 95.3 The Score.